The Lord has given you and I the place of being gatekeepers. We are the gatekeeper to our heart. You know, God was not going to kick the door down. Amen. But if you will open the door, He'll come in. If you'll trust Him, He can do wonders, transformational wonders in your life. I am a living testimony to the transformational work of the Holy Spirit today. And it had to be God. But the big obstacle that we all face is that part of us that wants to live independent of His Creator. Amen. And we were never designed to live independent of our Creator. We were actually created for Him. So when you live independent of God, you live dysfunctionally. And that's what's wrong with our world today. We have a world that wants to do its own thing, does not want the Lord to rule over it. And so as long as that's the case, there's going to be chaos. There's going to be confusion. There's going to be dysfunction. But it doesn't have to be so for you and for me. How many know that God is a God of peace? He's a God of order. And He wants to bring your life into His order so you can have His peace and you will have joy in the Holy Spirit. You know, the Lord wants you and me to be joyful. Amen? How many want your kids to be happy? All right. Do you think God wants gloomy Christians? I don't think so. Amen? He came that we might have life and life more abundantly. And with that package, and that package, by the way, is our Lord Himself that He gives to us. Everything that you have need of is available to you freely in Christ. He has joy. He has peace. He has love. He has goodness. He has faithfulness. He has kindness, right? Everything that we have need of, self-control, He's all of that. You see, we like to add things to our lives. Today we're going to come and add another thing into our toolbox as we hear the word, amen. But the bottom line is that when you receive Christ and Christ is in you, you receive the fullness of Him. And it's by faith that we walk out or live out who we are in Him. For He has made all grace abound towards us. Everything we have need of is freely given to us in Christ. So in other words, if I have Christ in me, I already have joy. Do you believe for that joy? What you believe determines what you receive. Do you believe that you have love? Do you believe you have peace? Do you believe you have salvation? Do you believe in Jesus? Christ in you is the hope of glory. In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Yes, you are complete in Him. Oh, my mind has to agree with the reality that is the new birth. When Christ comes to dwell within me, I receive a new nature. I receive a new heart. A heart that loves God, that wants to please God. If I'm in Adam, I don't care about the things of God. But when I am in Christ, I care about the things that God cares about. I love the things that He loves and I hate the things that He hates. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have what? Become new. God wants you to become a new creation, not just an improvement on the old thing by adding things to your life, but by receiving Him and by faith, living out His purpose in your life. Faith where? Faith in the ability of God. Faith in the grace. Faith in the power of God. Not faith in my ability to be faithful, but my faith in His faithfulness and in His power. His mighty power that is at work within me. All I need is more of you. All I need is more of you. Nothing I desire, Lord, but more of you. Would you sing that with me? All I need is more of you. All I need is more of you. Nothing I desire, Lord, but more of you. As a gatekeeper, you need to open the door. You see, you don't let people in your house that you don't trust. But you need to trust in the Lord. Because there's salvation in none other. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And only Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. If you have Christ, you have hope. Amen. Because He is your hope. If you look at things externally and judge by just the way things appear, you can quickly begin to lose hope because you're losing focus. While we look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are what? Temporary. But the things that are unseen are eternal. So God has created mankind with the ability to worship. And we're all going to worship something or someone. But God has created us for Himself. And when you worship God in spirit and truth, you're actually living out your divine God-given purpose. Amen. Lord, let's pray. Father, I thank You so much for Your mercy, for Your grace, for Your goodness, for allowing me to serve You. Lord, I don't deserve You. None of us do. But You loved us first. And You, Lord, saw past our fault, saw our need, and You drew us. You saved us. You separated us, called us to be Your own. You've anointed us for such a time as this. Lord, I rely upon Your grace today. I ask You to grant me utterance to speak, that we will hear Your voice today, Lord, that we will look to You today. Not to man. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I want to address something that occasionally I hear from folks that kind of want to, I believe it's a way of shirking responsibility, but it's, I can identify with that because when I grew up, I didn't want to be responsible. I just wanted to do my own thing, and I didn't want to have any, you know, any pressure or stress in my life. So I looked for ways to avoid being involved with anything that would make me responsible. Anybody beside myself been there? And the next thing I know is like God is calling me and giving me responsibility. And this attitude that whatever is going to be is going to be. How many know that not everything is God's will? And I know we say that God is in charge. Well, He's sovereign over all the earth. He rules over the nations, amen. But yet God has delegated authority to mankind to rule over the earth realm. And so God is not responsible for the mess up that we see in the nations, amen, today, that we see in our own nation. So if it's all just God, then it's got to be then God's at fault for the mess. But the truth is that God gave in the very beginning man authority, didn't He? He gave him dominion. In Genesis 1:26, the Godhead consulted and said, Let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So here we see very clearly this is what God gave to mankind, this authority on earth. But he was never to exercise that dominion or that authority independent of his Creator. Everything was well. Everything was going fine until mankind decided to go independent and to have it his way. And in verse 28, God blessed them, male and female, right? Adam and Eve. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and, it says, subdue it. And I looked up that word subdue, and it means to conquer or bring into subjection. He says, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. So that word subdue gives us the impression that not everything was in order in the garden. There was a problem even in the garden. That old serpent was there of old. Now, I know sometimes we see the picture of the snake wrapped around the tree, and it's symbolic, I believe. I believe that Lucifer is a beautiful, light-bearing being that God created, and so he was attractive. And they were drawn to the attractiveness of Lucifer, who had promised them that, hey, listen, if you listen to my voice, you can be your own God, and you don't have to submit to Almighty God. And so God in the very beginning told them to multiply, right? Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it. Again, that means to conquer or bring into subjection. So there were some things that they had to overcome in the very beginning. And in the garden, mankind was not to be subject to anything or anyone except God himself. And even in that relationship that God had with man, it was consensual, meaning that man agreed to walk with God. He chose to love and serve the Lord in the garden. Why? Because without a free will, you're a slave. Somebody say amen, right? Without free will, you become a slave. Did God not give us the right to choose? The ability to choose, make our own choices, make our own way. In other words, even though we can choose to do contrary to God's will, God still allows us to make our own choices. And there are consequences or blessings based upon what choice we make. So not everything that happens is according to God's perfect will. But God has promised that he's going to make everything new. He's going to create a new heavens and a new earth, and where it dwells righteousness. Amen? He's going to come. He's going to reign over the earth someday. And he's going to put down all rule and authority. He's going to sit as King of Kings and Lord of Lords from his throne in Jerusalem. Amen? Jesus is King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. And right now, God has given us the responsibility in the earth realm to enforce what Jesus has already accomplished for us at the cross. He has spoiled principalities and powers and rulers of wickedness and given us the authority in his name to take authority over all the works of the enemy. He said, I give you authority, exousia, right, over all the dunamis, the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. He delegated that to his disciples. And when he ascended to heaven, he sent his Holy Spirit to do what? To anoint us, to empower us, to enforce what he's already accomplished. And what happens in the world, come on, is going to be a result of what we do or don't do. But God in his foreknowledge already knew that people would rebel, people would turn away, people would, you know, refuse to bow their knee to the Creator, and it was a right that God gave them because love must be consensual. And so as a result of living outside of the love of God, we have the mess we have today. Man even had authority over the serpent. That's why he couldn't touch him. But if he could entice him and convince them that he was telling them the truth when he was actually lying to them, then he could usurp the authority that God gave them and use it against mankind. And that's exactly what happened. So when Adam committed this crime of disobeying God and going independent of God, independent of his word, he committed treason. And he was removed from the garden. And again, as long as Adam walked with the Lord, he lived in a beautiful place. Amen. And he had peace with the Lord. And he enjoyed unbroken fellowship with the Lord. You know? That day is coming again. Hallelujah. The Lord's going to deal with that serpent of old. But it was never God's will, hear me, for man to disobey him. God gave him the freedom to choose whether he would obey God or not. But then, of course, he would soon discover the wages of sin is death, and has come upon all of us as a result of man attempting to live independent of his Creator. And so the dysfunction of our world is correlated to that, to choices that our forefathers made. We're subjected even to the curse of the fall due to decisions, amen, that we didn't make. But we were born in a condition, amen, that was actually hostile to God, and that's why we must be born again in order to be reconciled to God. Because naturally who we are is worse than anything we've done. In other words, man became subject to Satan when he sinned. And through Jesus Christ, that power of Satan, that power of sin can be broken. So you can walk in liberty. You can walk in freedom today. Freedom from the law, freedom from, amen, the curse of sin, and freedom from the power of Satan. And Jesus, amen, has come to give us abundance of life, a fullness of life, and that life is in Him. God's perfect will for Israel was to be their king. Amen? His plan was for His people to willingly submit to His word and be His representatives to the surrounding nations. And God wanted His people to be holy. And He didn't want them to be like all the other nations around them. They were to represent Him, right? But they didn't want to be different. They wanted to conform to the world. You see, there's nothing new under the sun, is there? Man still wants to live independent of his Creator. In 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 1, "Now it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. And the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second Abijah. They were judges in Beersheba. But his sons did not walk in his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain, took bribes, and perverted justice." Like I said, there's nothing new under the sun. "And then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, 'Look, you are old and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations.'" Again, God's plan was that He would be their king. But in their stubbornness, and because God had given them a will, they said, "We don't want God basically to be a king. We want a human king." And so Samuel was obviously grieved because he knew this was not God's plan. In verse 6, he said, "The thing displeased Samuel when they said, 'Give us a king to judge us.' So Samuel prayed to the Lord." So the Lord said, "Okay, if that's what they want." Was that God's will? No. But He gave them what they wanted. How many know that it wasn't God's will for Israel, amen, to be satisfied with anything except what he had provided for them in the wilderness? That was the water from the rock and the manna that came down, amen, but that wasn't good enough. They didn't want to go through the time of testing. They wanted to quickly get to their destination without going through the process of being prepared to enter into their destination. And so they started complaining. And so God gave them quail, didn't he? But with the quail, there came also a leanness of soul. And one word for that means a wasting disease. In other words, they got filled up in their flesh, but they were impoverished in their soul. Because they chose their will over God's will, but because they continued to complain, God gave them what they wanted. So be careful what you ask for, right? In verse 7, the Lord said to Samuel, "Heed the voice of the people and all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them." So God told Samuel to warn them that the king that they were going to get, because they insisted on having an earthly king, would not be good for them. That was speaking of Saul, remember. He would enrich himself, this king. By what? Impoverishing the people. Nothing new under the sun. He would draft their young men and women for military and domestic service. Because that's what they wanted. They wanted a king. And then basically he would make virtual slaves of them. You see, the devil enslaves people. God liberates people. And God always allows a person to make the choice of what they want to do with their life. But there are consequences for the choices we make. The reason our forefathers came to this land was to escape the oppression of the King of England, remember, and to live in freedom. So they came here to get away from the oppression so they could exercise their God-given rights to free speech, to worship God the way they wanted to exercise their right to get together, to assemble, and to choose the leaders that would represent them, not themselves. So our nation was founded upon the God-given right to choose our own representatives. So we're different than a lot of the nations. Would you agree? So as God permitted Israel of old to choose a king, even contrary to his perfect will, so God allows us the choice to choose through voting, right? So we can choose the leaders we want to represent us here in America. That was the intent of our forefathers. Amen? That they would represent us. Self-governing. Amen? So even as God, again, he permitted Israel of old to choose a king, so God allows us to choose our leaders as well. And God told his ancient people in Deuteronomy 30, verse 15, "See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes, his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess." That's God's heart. "But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish, for you shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing." What does he say? "Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live." What did God do? God gave them the option to choose. You go, guys, if we don't do what is our responsibility to do in a free nation, then don't complain about the outcomes. If we fail to vote or exercise our right to choose our own leaders, it wouldn't be God's fault, would it? We have lived, I'm going to say have lived, in a self-governing free society. And as a constitutional republic, we have been given the privilege and responsibility to elect leaders that represent our interests and our values. If we do nothing, that is also a choice. You see, we can choose to do nothing as well, and that is also making a choice. So not everything that happens is necessarily God's will. God permits us to choose our own path. So if we want to choose death, and I chose the path of death, I know what it's like. I lived in darkness. It was my choice, and God let me have my choice. But I discovered God's way is superior to mine and much better. I love living in the light now. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I like being able to see. How many know blindness is a result of man's rebellion against his Creator and unwillingness to submit to His Word? Amen? So whenever a man chooses to live independent of God, it always leads, always, not just sometimes, to oppression and bondage. What I thought was going to bring me freedom ended up becoming bondage. I became a slave instead to the enemy, to the devil. In John 1:12 it says, "But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in His name." Even when it comes to following the Lord, it is by personal choice. Would you agree? God wants us to love Him. God wants us to trust Him. But love and trust cannot be forced. And we have to remember that. I've tried to force righteousness on people. If they're not open to it, if their hearts are not receptive to that, amen, it ain't going to happen. However, sometimes in His mercy, God will allow things to happen in our lives to get our attention. Because He loves us and He doesn't want to lose us. And I believe we're getting a spanking in America. I don't believe this is the judgment, the severe judgment of God, but I believe we are certainly under chastisement now, and God wants to awaken His people that we will come out from among them and be separate from the world and from the evil of this world, that we will be set apart to Him once again, that we will once again be the people that represent Him to the people or the nations, the ethnos, the people that we live among. Amen. We are to shine as lights in the darkness. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth." We are to be the influencers in this society. Can you say amen? And so we need to be salted before we can be salty. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit before we can be influential in our society. We need to be submitting ourselves to the Word of God in order to have the authority, amen, to live out the will of God. That's why some people are so arrogant towards God and His right to reign over them. Sometimes I've seen some clips of some people that have mocked God, but how many know that God is not mocked? You don't want to mock God. But in their arrogance, they seem to do all these things, even defy God and say things that are blasphemous and seemingly get away with it. And because man has a right to choose his own path and do and say whatever he wants, come on, they will do all kinds of things that can lead to all kinds of problems. But God allows us to make our own choices. You see, sometimes the enemy entices us. He tempts us, and we listen to him. Amen. And then after we listen to him, we're eating the bad fruit of listening to him. And then God gets blamed for the choice that we made. Not everything that happens is the will of God. But it's sometimes God saying, I've given you the choice. I've given you responsibility over your body to maintain it as my vessel, to be holy, to be my, right? The temple of the Holy Spirit, which is to be kept pure, amen, sexually, because it belongs to God. My body is now the property of the Lord, amen?
Amen.
And to my wife only. And so when you give yourself away, amen, well, there are consequences for making choices that God gave you to make. You can do whatever you want, but there are consequences. And I think we've all understood that, and most of us here get that, right? Hopefully everybody. It's not good to live independent of the Lord. We weren't designed for that. Galatians 6:7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. So remember, the Lord said in Samuel's day to the prophet that they had not rejected him, but they rejected God himself. So they chose their will over the will of God, and God allowed them to do it. But they would soon suffer for it. And in Deuteronomy 17, verse 14, it says God made provision for the rule of kings in the law. And why did he do that? Because God knew that man would try, right, to disobey God in this area. And that these laws were meant to curb the evil that would follow man's foolish choices. So if it wasn't for God's word, amen, nothing would exist. We wouldn't be here. We're held together by the word of his power. Amen. Everything at the molecular level and even subatomic is held together by what? The power of God. They still haven't figured out what's holding the earth in its place. It's the word of God that holds it in its place. Amen. And the sun and the moon and the stars. Hallelujah. But before the Lord's command, before he spoke, hear this, there was chaos. In Genesis 1:2, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And then God said, let there be light, and there was light. First the sound of his voice, and then creation. First the sound, the vibration, amen, of God's voice, then creation. And after he spoke into the darkness, light entered in, and it brought order out of the disorder, right? So whenever God's word is introduced into a situation, there's light. Amen? There's healing. There's restoration. There's life. There's wisdom. There's guidance. There's also conviction and judgment when the word of the Lord comes. And so wherever God is not, wherever the word of God is not, there is chaos and there is confusion and every evil thing. That's why the devil loves darkness. Now, God is in control of us to the degree that we are willing to give him control over our lives. Guys, I believe that people go to hell because they choose to. You choose your own path, but God says, I set before you the choice. Choose Jesus. Choose life. Amen. Live for the Lord. God's will is to bring light into the darkness. You and I are night lights, remember. His word is light. Psalms 119, 130, the entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. What does it do? It brings light. We need the word of God. So whenever people choose darkness over the light, they basically choose to live in spiritual blindness. When we refuse the counsel of God, we live in darkness. And that's why people do insane things and think they're so smart. Some people are willingly ignorant, the Bible says. They choose not to believe. How is it that some people can choose a self-destructive lifestyle and yet believe it's a good thing? That was me at one time. John 3:19, this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light. What does that mean? It means they have a choice to refuse the light or to come to the light. And that light is Christ, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. You see, some people claim that God is in control of their lives, yet they live their lives independent of his rule. So is God in control of their lives? No. They're in control of their own life. They choose not to believe the Lord. Is God in control of our decisions? Is God in control of our decisions? No. We choose who we will serve, who we will submit to, who will open the door of our hearts to and trust. How about your thought life? Is in God control of your thought life? No, you are. You can't always control what thoughts you get, but you can control what you do with the thought. Sometimes we get evil thoughts. It doesn't mean that it's from you. The enemy comes and he sows evil thoughts. It's what you do with the evil thought. You cast it down. Take it captive, amen, to the obedience of Christ. Take control of your thought life. Praise God. I just take a stand and I say, no, not going there. Sometimes if it just keeps coming, I just say, I reject you, Satan, in Jesus' name. Take authority. Why is our world so chaotic? Why is everything so dark and crazy right now? Because, again, man chooses to live independent of his Creator. It's not God's fault. Voluntary or involuntary, sometimes we suffer because of choices other people make because they have still a right to choose what they do. And so when people refuse the light of Christ, their hearts become darkened, and then they become that vessel for evil because the devil loves dark places. Let me ask you another question today. Does God want to save America? I say yes. It is God's will to save America. But now we need to ask ourselves a question. What is my responsibility in this nation? As a follower of Jesus, as an example, amen, and as an ambassador representing the kingdom government of heaven, I'm to be an influencer in my world. If I have the freedom to choose a leader, I should be involved in choosing godly leaders. Amen? Come on, somebody. If you're not doing anything, you've made a choice. God gave us charge over ourselves. So we are responsible for what we do or say in our bodies. Again, Galatians 6:7 says, God is not mocked. What we sow, we'll reap. Amen. Now, we know, praise God, the hope that we have is that we can be a restraining force for a season here, amen, even in this nation. But Jesus is going to return from heaven, hallelujah. And looking forward to that day, hallelujah. And he's going to reign over all the earth. And he's going to put down all the foolishness. He's going to deal with it. And all the arrogance of men and those who have mocked God and those who have said, you will not be king over us. Oh, in that day, they will bow their knee. And they will confess Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He's going to reign. Every knee will bow. Proverbs 1:23, turn up my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. If you do what? Listen to his word. Listen to his voice. If he's correcting you, obey, submit to God, amen, and then He will pour out His Spirit on you and He will open your eyes to understand the truth. And when you know the truth, you will be liberated from the power of sin and the power of the devil, amen. But He said in verse 24, because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded, because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes, when your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. Why? Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. Did nothing. But whoever listens to me, everybody say, whoever listens, will dwell safely. And what? Will be secure without fear of evil. Guys, I'm not living in fear, are you? We know who's on the throne. We submit willingly to Him, and we pray for His kingdom to come, His will to be done in the earth realm. Amen. God wants to work in and through our lives, hallelujah, to bring light into the darkness. He wants us to be about our Father's business, even as Jesus did when He was on the earth. Amen. As the Father has sent me, so now I'm sending you. Represent me in the world. Amen. I've given you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the works of the darkness of the devil. Amen. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. We have been given the authorization to represent Jesus here in this world. We are not to live in fear. We are to live by faith in God, amen, who is with us. And greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world, amen. The body they may kill, but they can't take my soul, amen, because it's anchored in heaven. I belong to Jesus, amen. And I'm going to be here on this earth as long as the Lord wants me here. And no one is able to take me out of my Father's hand. Can you say amen to that? So let's live who we are. We've been anointed, appointed for such a time as this, separated, hallelujah, to represent Jesus in this world. Amen. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Amen. Proclaim the kingdom, because the Lord is with us and the Lord is mighty to save. Hallelujah. His power is still the same as it was yesterday. Amen. Hallelujah. God is with us today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of healing and deliverance, where the captives are being released. Maybe you're here today and you feel like you're just bound up by all the stuff, all the heaviness of the world, and you feel maybe the devil's got you bound. I'm here to tell you that Jesus wants to set you free. Jesus wants to break that yoke. Jesus wants you to know His life. He wants you to know what real freedom looks like. Hallelujah. Freedom from fear. Freedom from fear of death. Freedom from the power of Satan. Freedom, amen, from the power of sin. I came to set the captives free, says the Lord. Hallelujah. And when the Lord Jesus comes, we say, come, Lord, amen. But in the meantime, God has a responsibility for every one of us here. Amen? When we leave this place, we are entering into the mission field. And how many know there's a mission field also in the church? And we need to reach out to one another in love and open our hearts to people and welcome them, amen, to trust Jesus, who can set them free. Hallelujah. If you're here today and you need prayer for anything, you need a miracle, you need healing. Maybe you feel like you have been just bound up by life and by maybe the things the enemy's put on you. I'm here to tell you that God can set you free today, right now, if you will humble yourself.